Tribune columnist, commercial real estate columnist Ryan Ori recently asked in a column this week, can the vibe of these neighborhoods be maintained with all of this stuff happening? And he joins us this afternoon to talk about what he wrote. Ryan, welcome to the show. Nice to talk to you.
Good to be here.
And so you talk about these three retail corridors in Chicago. You got Armitage, you got Damon, and Southport. And these are great streets. And, you know, something that I've noticed about all three of these streets is the fact that we have more and more empty storefronts. Should we be concerned? Is this a cause for worry?
Yeah, I don't know if it's a cause for worry. You know, as you mentioned, these are streets that definitely make Chicago unique, and they're well-known north side streets that are great for walking around. And, you know, national retailers have noticed that and moved in and, as you said, pushed up the rents. So what I wrote about was based on a study by real estate brokerage based here in Chicago, Stone Real Estate, and they looked at the trends that have happened on those three streets over the last 5 years, and the rents have gone up significantly as national retailers that can afford those rents have come in. And so what's happened is, you know, some of the kind of smaller boutique type shops have closed, unable to afford those kind of rents. And some of the big national retailers that have come in some instances have stayed for a while and it hasn't worked out that well and they've closed. So then you end up with an empty storefront that's either that retailer is still paying rent on or they're just looking for another retailer to come along and pay those higher rents, and they're willing to hold out, you know, the property owner is willing to hold out for a higher rent. And in the meantime, you have a kind of unsightly vacant store sitting there.
Yeah. And, you know, it depends on where you're talking about. But in Chicago, I'm thinking of like, and you write about this, the Southport corridor. You've got some pretty big stores that have come in there. And it seems that, at least in the case of Southport, that they're doing okay, that people now have made a destination, the Southport corridor, a destination, even though these big chain stores have landed there.
Yeah, Southport, you know, the study showed that Southport has definitely kind of held the most steady. They've virtually had no retail vacancy over that five-year period of time, and that's really, over the last 5 years or so, is when Southport really kind of emerged as a go-to place for retail. Some of these, the other two, Damon and Armitage, have been established longer as retail destinations, but they've also kind of had the more swings in vacancy rate and more ups and downs over the last few years. You know, so those are different dynamics, partly just because Southport kind of emerged later. There's been a lot of storefronts there that, like, kind of smaller, older buildings that have been demolished and replaced with bigger, more efficient buildings, whatever you want to call them. And so they've kind of, as they've replaced buildings and rebuilt them, had, you know, tenants lined up. And so they've moved right in as the new building has opened. And so there really has been very little vacancy, whereas the other two streets have seen some spells of high vacancy, including right now on Damon.
You know, it's interesting because you talk about these three areas. You talk about Damon, Armitage, and Southport, but you think about other areas of Chicago, in areas like Wicker Park, Bucktown, the North Side, primarily, that we've seen this increase in retail, not exclusively to the North Side, but I think that is where this conversation is sort of hovering around. And, you know, I feel like every time we knock down a building here, we build another one that seems to be a little bit more sterile, a little bit more concrete and glass. And then it's sort of the same formula on the ground. There's going to be retail space. But what seems to happen in these buildings, even if you're building a new condo building, these retail spaces on the ground floor are going to remain vacant. It's like there's nothing lined up and they're vacant for a while. And you ask yourself, well, if rents are this high, who can afford to go into these spaces that aren't always the size of like a big box store? Sometimes they're very small. Maybe a boutique shop could go in there. But if you are a boutique shop, again, how can you afford this rent? Is there a way that we are going to sort of, I don't know, break this cycle, or can things even out a little bit? Or is there some sort of correction where businesses can be able to have that opportunity to move into these areas and not have to pay sky high rent.
You know, that's the trick that each of these streets faces right now, because what makes them unique is the smaller local businesses, and then you kind of get the catch 22 that makes the street interesting and attractive, and that attracts the bigger national, you know, less unusual retailers who can pay more in rent. And so it's tough to strike that balance. You know, in some instances, there are landlords who own a whole bunch of buildings on a street and are willing to maybe take a little less rent on some of the spaces because it keeps kind of the credibility of the street or whatever you want to call it. And it boosts the value of their other properties. But on so other areas where you have, you know, kind of every man for himself and every building has a different owner and they're looking to maximize the rent they can get on that one space, you know, there have been instances where people are willing to, you know, dig in their heels and let a store sit vacant for 2 or 3 years until someone is willing to, you know, pay the rate that they feel is the rate that it should be. That's when you end up seeing these long-standing vacancies, and you know, as a if you're a nearby resident or someone who's shopping on that street, that kind of leaves a bad taste in your mouth.
Yeah, Ryan Ory is on the phone with us. He is the Tribune's commercial real estate columnist, and he is writing a bunch in the hard copy of the paper, and of course at ChicagoTribune.com. And you know, this whole issue of chain stores, of national big box stores coming in. I remember we sort of have had spikes in this conversation when Walmart came here a few years back. There was a big conversation about that. And I think that sometimes it's easy to get into that narrative of we are going to fight against the man. We're going to fight against the big box stores, the national chains. But has there been any sort of study done or research done on this? Do we know the effect that chain stores can have on a particular neighborhood, especially when we're talking about a neighborhood like Lakeview or Bucktown or Wicker Park? Do these chains, can they have a positive impact economically on these communities?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think when you start saying chain, it oftentimes does immediately bring a negative connotation that it's bland and not interesting and things like that. But, you know, first of all, the reason these shops go to these areas is they feel like they have customers that are going to come there. So there are people who want those stores there. In a lot of other cases on these three streets that I was writing about, some of the, you know, quote unquote national retailers are fairly unusual things. Like on Armitage, this interesting trend that's emerged in recent years is you've got these 1800s buildings that are, it's a, you know, landmark street with these very interesting 1800s architecture. And you've got a lot of e-commerce primarily companies now setting up bricks and mortar kind of stores, and they've clustered together a lot of these brands as a way to promote their brand more. And because of studies that show them where their online orders are coming from and what is the demographic. And in a lot of those cases, you know, Warby Parker or, you know, Interior Define or whatever, those orders are coming from that neighborhood and they're establishing a store there for that reason. So, it's not quite, you know, Walmart and some of those names immediately people kind of fight against. And you don't want to see a street have all national brands and no local boutiques. But in a lot of cases, these stores are, you know, have been well received and people have not fought against them. A store like a Lululemon or something like that that offers, you know, yoga classes or something that people in the neighborhood want on top of, you know, the shopping experience have been welcomed. It's just some of these other brands haven't gone as well. Like on Damon, they had a kind of an overflow of athletic type stores, mm-hmm. shoes and athletic stuff, and people kind of just got weary that, you know, here comes the 10th athletic store on the street, you know. It just kind of depends from one block to another. Sometimes it's been done really well, the mix of local and national or kind of unusual national retailers, and others it's just become a concentration of brands that everybody knows, and the neighborhood doesn't necessarily get excited about that.
Are you optimistic? I mean, you know, talking about the health of boutiques and local businesses coming into these areas, these are great corridors for business and economics. Should we be optimistic about the fact that maybe some stores can come in, or are we just going to have to sit it out a little bit more, a little bit longer, and wait out these empty storefronts?
Well, the other dynamic that's going to play out too is all this has happened. You know, these three streets have all changed dramatically the last few years, and now we're in this era where a lot of brands are cutting back on their stores or changing the look and feel of their stores in response to whether it be e-commerce competition or changing preferences of their customers or whatever it may be. And so it's a very uncertain time in general for retail. Some of the long-time, well-established retail brands are now really struggling in the world of online orders that keep going up and up every year. And so that will also play into it, whether, you know, certain brands are cutting back on the number of stores they're going into. They're not going to be a candidate to maybe fill in that space on Damon or Armitage that's sitting vacant. But it may be something, it may again be something that would have been unexpected a few years ago, like these primarily online brands that are now creating stores as a way to build awareness of their brand or showcase their products. And so I think there's some optimism that different types of things are moving into these spaces, but it's not necessarily going to, it may not be the mom and pop local shop, or it may not be another big chain. It may be something completely unexpected.
And I've got just a few seconds left here, Ryan, and I think you were actually on this very station a few days ago talking about this, but I have to ask you because I'm curious. What's up with the old post office? I know you've been writing about this. You were looking into this. The old post office, I drive under that thing a lot, and I always wonder, like, hey, you know what? This is a pretty big building. We should do something with this. Any word on what's going to happen?
Well, the owner of that building has a huge, you know, crews of workers that are gutting the inside of the building and taking out, you know, literally tons of debris that were in there, you know, truckloads and barge loads of debris, and cutting away sections of floors and walls and reconfiguring some things. But they're pouring, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars into this building and envision it as a, when it's all done, as a modern office building that's going to have, you know, the widest floors of any office building in Chicago, and will be extremely unique. And as you said, it will be the only office building in Chicago that you can literally drive through the middle of. So it's extremely visible and extremely unusual building, and it's the kind of building that will never be built again. So they believe they have a very unique offering, and it's, you know, it's one of several sites in Chicago that have been proposed for the Amazon second headquarters.
Yeah.
In addition to that, they're out there looking for any tenant that wants, you know, potentially thousands of employees on a single floor, or thousands of employees on a whole bunch of floors if it's a huge company. And they have a very unique offering. It's tough to find such a huge company to take up those kind of floors, but they also don't have a lot of competition because it's just such an unusual property.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool building. Well, check out what Ryan is writing about in the Chicago Tribune and at chicagotribune.com. Again, Ryan Ori is the Tribune commercial real estate columnist. Ryan, Happy New Year. Thanks for talking to us today.
Same to you. Thanks.